This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Friday, April 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. A budget deal on urgent actions. DPR faces school lawsuit, and study finds diversification is a win-win. Newsom strikes an early budget deal. Governor Newsom brokered a deal with legislative leaders yesterday. Over $17 billion in cuts and other immediate actions to address the sweeping deficit. The actions largely align with the Senate's Shrink the Shortfall plan and rely on cuts to one-time spending along with delays, borrowing, and cost shifts. The Senate and Assembly plan to approve the package next week. Assembly Speaker Robert Rivas said he expects Newsom to deliver, quote, challenging budget proposals next month when he revises his full budget plan after tax revenues come in. Lawmakers hope to then dip into half the state's rainy day fund, saving the rest for the coming deficit years. But Republicans are crying foul over transparency for Democrats jamming through a major budget package in less than a week, arguing the closed-door deal should face more public scrutiny. Democrats are countering that the legislature's rule for lawmakers to wait 72 hours before voting on new bills allows ample time for review. Senate Budget Chair Scott Wiener pointed out during the floor session yesterday that the two chambers will continue to debate the rest of the budget plan through June. Take note, under the plan, broadband programs would lose $250 million for loans and last-mile connections. Watershed restoration projects would face $207 million in cuts, and climate innovation projects would lose $100 million in grant funding. Climate smart ag programs, meanwhile, will be competing with more hands in the cap and trade pot. The plan would shift $1.8 billion in taxpayer spending to that fund. The assembly breakdown of the plan indicates the state would maintain funding for combating exotic fruit flies and some unspent dollars for food processor efficiency grants. A Senate version supports overhauling the mill assessment and indicates the sales tax would cover a portion of the pending pesticide notification system. Enviros sue over pesticides near schools. A coalition of environmental groups has filed a lawsuit against the Department of Pesticide Regulation and the Monterey County Ag Commissioner over pesticide use near schools. The coalition, led by Earth Justice, claims the use of the fumigants 1,3-D and chlorpicrin near three schools in the Pajaro Valley may be leading to breathing issues and childhood cancer, and that officials have been rubber-stamping pesticide permits. Now, keep in mind, after environmentalists' outcry, DPR has been enforcing additional restrictions for pesticide use near schools for more than 6 years. Yet advocates managed to convince the governor to issue a directive during the pandemic to crack down further on those applications. And this year, Assemblymember Damon Connolly of San Rafael is seeking to boost the enforcement standards even further. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Agricultural diversification is a win-win for farms, a new study finds. Farms using agricultural diversification methods around the world can have a positive environmental and social impact. That, according to a study published in this week's edition of the journal Science. Researchers found diversification methods offer win-win outcomes for farmers, meaning positive impacts on biodiversity and human well-being without lower yields. Agricultural diversification has often been sort of blamed for having lower yields and not being particularly helpful from a more social perspective, said Laura Van Rasmussen, an associate professor at the University of Copenhagen. But we do actually see positive effects for both biodiversity, food security, and human well-being, and we do not see negative effects for yields. Rasmussen co-led the study with Ingo Grass, a professor at the University of Hohenheim. It examines 24 data sets from existing research representing over 2,600 farms globally. While researchers could not determine a single diversification method associated with the most positive outcomes, they found implementing more methods resulted in more positive outcomes. By the way, for U.S. farms specifically, livestock integration had a positive overall outcome on biodiversity and human well-being, said Olivia Smith, a research associate at Michigan State University who contributed to the study. The practice can provide new income streams and fertilizer for crops as well as help with controlling weeds, Smith said. Diversification can also make farms more resilient amid climate change, she said. EPW Republicans attack emission standards. Senate Environment and Public Works Committee ranking member Shelley Moore Capito yesterday released a report criticizing the EPA's emission reduction standards for gas-powered cars and heavy-duty trucks. Moore, in the report, asserted that standards to cut tailpipe emissions for light and medium-duty vehicles for model years 27 to 32 would cost more than $500 billion, that between 2027 and 2055. She argued a heavy-duty truck rule covering model years 2027 to 2032 would cost $24 billion between 2027 and 2055. When Capito called the rules, quote, mandates, EPA said the standards are technology neutral and performance based, allowing each manufacturer to choose the suite of emissions control technologies that will, quote, meet the standards and the needs of their customers, that according to a fact sheet. Farmers, herbicide formulators criticized Corteva's tariff petition on 2,4-D. Corn growers and formulators of 2,4-D urged the International Trade Commission yesterday to deny a request from Corteva Agriscience for anti-dumping duties on low-priced Chinese and Indian imports, claiming the country has been using its position as sole U.S. producer of 2,4-D acid to gain market share for its Enlist growing system. At a preliminary conference on the petition, ITC staff heard from a panel of Corteva officials, as well as Harold Woolley, president of the National Corn Growers Association, and representatives from formulators Drexel Chemical, PBI Gordon Companies, and New Farm Americas, Atol LTD, an Indian manufacturer of 2,4-D acid, also was represented. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. Here's today's He Said It. We learn all these things at about the same time as our 8 million constituents learn it. That State Senator Roger Nello of Fair Oaks sharing Republican frustrations over Democrat-controlled budget process. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Friday, April 5th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.